T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I get so excited. Like right now, I'm excited about our meeting tomorrow watching film and breaking that down and seeing things that we can do better, seeing things that we did do well, thinking about the adjustments that they possibly or will do, because I know Spo going into game 5. That's the best part about it. It's a chess match. And when you get to this point in your career, having your mind at a high level is so much more than the physical. At this point, we're all great players. We're all here for a reason. We're in the finals, both teams, both conferences, and anybody that hits the floor, they're on the floor for a reason. So to be able to think through the game and understand and see the adjustments and try to make plays before plays even seem like they're going to be possible, that's the best part for me personally.
LeBron James.
Man, I resent the fact that all of this is happening at the same time. I fully admit to not giving the NBA Finals the focus that they deserve here in the midst of a football season that demands a little bit of attention, a baseball postseason that Lord knows demands lots of my attention, and just so much else. I got to cover the Corey Crawford situation breathlessly right here on 670 The Score. And that's why I need a little help talking NBA Finals and other things. And why not talk to my old friend Jason Goff? It's nice to get some time with Jason anywhere, be it in the neighborhood, on the air, on the tech screen. I don't care where it is. I just wanted to share some space with you. Good evening, Jason.
Knock it off. You got to cover Corey Crawford. That's why you can't watch the final.
Jason, I got to figure out, man. Is Marc-Andre Fleury's contract worth considering?
Who the former Flames left winger? Who are you talking about? That's Theo.
Might as well be.
That's Theo, right?
Yeah,
that's
it's nephew.
What's good, man? How you feeling,
what's
brother?
What's going on, Jay? No, I'm good, man. I think things are good. But really, I love watching basketball. You know this. I love, and I can't. I'm a busy man, Jason. Yeah, I got lives to lead. And now, thankfully.
It's as if we hosted together yesterday. we're just walking in like, you know what, man? I got things going on. I can't keep my eye on that.
I need you to watch that for me. Cover my ass
for
these 3 hours.
Sports icons getting ready to ride off into the sunset. This might be the last time we see him on this stage.
No.
I got to make sure Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado aren't getting into it with Atlanta Braves or whoever the hell they're playing these days.
Oh, come on. You know, after Cody
Bellinger.
The Braves
are playing the Marlins, right?
Yeah. Cody Bellinger stole that home run.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then he and Tatis are making nice at second base. It makes my heart full. I got to write sonnets about that. You know, I'm busy.
Listen, Speaks. I get in my baseball bag when I watch a play, and then I tweet about it, and people are like, man, I was keeping up. I'm like, nah, I looked to the left, and I was on the TV. That's all it was.
Well, baseball, you can do that,
Yeah, I mean, you know,
you
it's
just
a
drop
fun
in.
Sport that way, man. It's a fun sport that way.
All right,
I'm looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, well, I bet. But so you think last time on the stage in terms of
I mean, it could
not like he's going to walk away, but like when is he going to get a supporting cast? When is he going to get another Anthony Davis?
I mean, they could
to
be right back there again tomorrow. Next year. They could be right there again next year. I mean, as long as you got Anthony Davis and LeBron James, as the Miami Heat are finding out, you're in the mix. I've enjoyed the restart. I didn't think I needed basketball, and I don't think I did because everything that was going on and how heavy life was. And then we started to think about, all right, you know, more people being around each other with the bubble work. This thing has come off without a hitch. And for a lot of people who are interested in the podcast, on the Bulls Talk podcast on NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com, if you want to go download that, make sure you get that My Teams app on your phone. But if you really think about it, this entire restart has been some spirited, invigorating basketball, because all of the other stuff, the extra stuff, has been stripped away. And it's pretty much who the coldest in the gym. That's why you can see Devin Booker going for 70 on people. And you watch Jamal Murray grow right in front of your eyes. You see, a Gary Trent Jr. get himself in line for a big payday coming up here as soon as he's ready, because he came to the bubble prepared. And sometimes dudes get punked on these lesser stages, man. The Drew League and, the Rucker and Kingdome and all these places where all that crap is moved to the side. You can't drive your car and you can't bring your contract out onto this court. So we're going to see what's what. And I think the restart in the bubble has had that kind of atmospheric effect on a lot of these dudes. And the real guys have obviously answered the call. And the guys that you didn't expect have answered that call as well. Now, we'll see how things change and what kind of atmosphere we'll be in when the season starts next year. But this has been a historic accomplishment, not only by the NBA, but the teams that have made it to the end here. I mean, the Miami Heat are if there's a team that you would want to root for, it's them, because of what they've done with those pieces and everybody being a dog and everybody being drafted 12th or lower. Right, a lot of guys who are good players in college, but nobody who was really the man like that. And now all of them have risen up and beaten the rest of the Eastern Conference, and now facing off against LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I feel like this has been everything the NBA could have asked for, especially with the storyline. Like, we haven't really even dug into the bag about LeBron in Miami. Like, we haven't jumped into that because Jimmy messed around and got a 40-point triple-double, historic triple-double, in Game 4. So. I'm sorry, in Game 3. So this has been fun for me to watch, even at a time where I didn't think I needed it because of everything that was going on around us. Don't know if I still need it, but it's been fun to absorb and immerse yourself in, and it's also been fun to talk about something besides The Last Dance, you know?
Yeah, well, that's just some of that life wisdom getting in there on whether you need it,
you told me it was coming.
I tried to warn you.
Yeah, you did. You did. No, it's not a warning. It's prophecy, baby. It's prophecy.
but there it is. It's great to hear you talk about the different contexts, because we've seen it in a lot of the different sports. It's like, all right, there's no crowd. Yeah. You're not, okay, Javi Baez, you got no crowd to play with. You got no people to play for. Do you actually have game or not? Can you actually adjust or not? You know, it's like, what do these guys have? Is Tyler Hero, is this his makeup always, or is he one of those guys who has risen with the bubble nakedness, if you will?
This has been it, though. This has been it from draft night to before that. I remember the first time I saw Tyler Kentucky game, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's something different here. You know what I mean? Like, this is a young man who likes to listen to the same music we do. And he's, you know what I mean? Like, you know the vibes. Like, yes. He's, you know, the Dante DiVincenzo of Villanova, where it's like, all right, this guy is that guy that can play, right? And he's had that swagger about him. He's had, you know, he showed off the drip on draft night with the lining of the suit. Like, he was pretty swaggy that night, and it hasn't stopped throughout the season. Before the Bulls broadcast, if Miami was playing like an hour before, I try to check out Miami. One, because I've been following Bam Adebayo ever since I got a chance to sit down and talk to him in his rookie year, and his career obviously is blossoming. Two, you know, checking out Jimmy, and of course, when you take your eyes to something, you find something else. Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson can play, and those two dudes, if Tyler Hero can be, Tyler Hero 25 plus points and efficient Tyler Hero. Not the Tyler Hero that we saw in Game 1, where the game seemingly was a little fast for him, and you could tell by the jitters and all the things. He's on a stage with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and this is the finals. You could tell his game wasn't as fast as it needed to be. Well, he settled in, and if they can get 20-plus points out of him, Duncan Robinson has to shoot the ball. Even if he misses 10 three-pointers, he has to put up 6 or 7 because he's out there to spread the floor. I like the squad, man. I thought this thing would be over in 6. I think it's going to be over tonight because there's a different feel and a different vibe and a different mission that's going on the other side of the court. Rajon Rondo is getting ready to ring rings with the two most historic franchises in the game's history. with Boston and L.A., right? LeBron is getting ready to add another title to his legacy. And whatever conversations you want to have about Mike and all those other things, like, I'm not really engaging too much in them these days, but that'll be fodder for people who want to talk about, was this an asterisk-filled restart, or is this something that really should be respected? Because those dudes are going through it, Speaks. You know, talking to a couple of guys in the bubble, talking to Dan Wojcicki and talking to Keith Smith, you know, some reporters in the bubble as well. It's not fun, man. Like, after the first time you play pickleball and after the third time you go fishing, you know, 2.5 months is tough, right? Yeah. Like, we're outside and we can't keep ourselves where we need to be. They are confined there, and they're millionaires and haven't lived like this. Like, people always, you know, I'm not, you know, why are they complaining about the food and the accommodations? Well, when you've been flying first class all your life and all of a sudden you got to get on the Greyhound hoop, it's a different vibe. So mentally, I think not enough credit has been given to what these guys have had to go through, bunker down, and then you get your family in there a week or two, with a week or two left in the season. They just haven't been themselves. So you finding out what dudes are truly made of and how tough guys are. And guys who got eliminated, there's some dudes who were like, yo, I can't wait to get back to the crib. And I got to be honest with you, in this instance, I'm not going to play the fan thing where I'm like, screw you, you should only be about the team. Man, these dudes have been away from their babies. They've been away from their lives and their loved ones. And that's part of the true serum that gets the best thing out of your game, right? So I applaud these dudes, and I think tonight we're going to see the crowning of an NBA champion.
Jason Goff joining me, Matt Spiegel, here on 670 The Score, and it feels nice. I like it. I like it, Jay. So, yeah, Rondo will be the second guy ever to have a ring with the Lakers and the Celtics, but Clyde Lavellette is the other one, and he did it with the Minneapolis Lakers, so that doesn't count. At 22 and 34. 22 years old, getting it done with the Celtics, and then at 34 with the Lakers, that's amazing for Rondo.
Nah, he's a game changer, right? And
We saw it right here. Remember, they were going to win. They were going to win that series. The 8 seed Bulls with the disaster of the 3 alphas were going to win their series if Rondo didn't get hurt. They were going to do it.
I mean, like, really check it out though. At every stop, like, the Pelicans kind of got derailed when Rondo got hurt. The Mavericks thing was all bad because you got two crazy people, you know, and Rick Carlisle and Rajon Rondo butting heads. But Rajon Rondo is one of the greatest point guards this game has ever seen, and he affects the game in so many different ways. Now, when that three isn't hitting, he is obviously a liability out there. But even when it isn't hitting, the thing that I have not understood for the life of me for his, what is he, 14, 15 years deep now? Something like that.
Yeah, 13, 14.
The people who back off of Rajon Rondo because he can't shoot, you're giving one of the most gifted passers and a guy with the set of the biggest hands since Rod Strickland, you know, you're giving that dude a chance to have free reign and vision over the court. I will never understand it, right? So he still has that effect on the game. He's averaging 6 rebounds and 6 assists coming off the bench. Like, that's a perfect backup point guard. The problem is he and LeBron have been a little bit turnover happy these last couple of games, and if you're going to provide extra offense to Miami Heat, that's the only way they're going to beat you. Like, Miami can't blow you out by 20, but you can blow them out by 20. So what's the difference? The decisions and the mistakes that you make. I think if Rondo controls the tempo when LeBron is out and also when LeBron is in, I mean, I think we're going to see the real championship medal and experience. Like, this is closeout night, right? So I think we're going to see those things come to the forefront. If the Miami Heat can withstand the early punch, then this will be a game. But I'm looking forward to seeing how ready and prepared these dudes come out, try to get this thing over, because dudes want to go home, man.
I understand. I didn't fault anybody who opted out of a baseball year, and I'm not going to fault guys for wanting to go home and be with their families and be safe. I don't want you. You don't have to engage in any LeBron versus conversation. You don't have to.
Well, LeBron brought us together again. You know? 9 years later.
How about it? That was like
good times, wasn't it?
such good times. And I loved disliking him. Boy, I enjoy it. But then everything, you know how it went. Everything that I had to hold on
to
against him. he countered it all every step of the way, whether it was on the court or off, whether it was, look, I need the support of these guys. Oh, I am the best player. Then I guess I'll just be the best player in Miami. Whether it was he's got no in-between game, I guess I'll go with Akeem and learn post. You know, whatever it was along the way, he just figured it all out. And now to be here and see 10 finals, and in every single one of them, he was the best player on the court. Kareem
got an NBA Finals because he guarded him to the tune of like 32-8-8. Like Andre Iguodala got an NBA MVP, Finals right? because he supposedly slowed down LeBron James, who averaged like 33-9-9 or whatever the hell he averaged. So yeah, man. But
Bill Russell made 12, and he was, you know, he was great, but not the best offensive player, and he had lots of help and consistency. Kareem made 10, but by the end, like, Magic was carrying Kareem up and down the court.
Right.
LeBron has made 10 as the best player on his team at a minimum, and almost always the best player in the entire freaking series.
Right.
And here he is. I saw, was it 37 different starting teammates he has brought to the NBA Finals? It is outrageous to be this good with this many different people, with this many different mixes for this long. It's completely unparalleled.
And all those things and more, because we watched it, right? Like, for the guys and girls who watched Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West and Elgin Baylor in the 60s, and for everybody who watched 70s basketball, like, for me, you know, I was born in 1980. So, I appreciate the history of the game. Like, I've had a chance through this industry to talk to some of the greatest basketball figures of all time, right, and appreciate the history. But I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I didn't live that soundtrack every summer. And what's happening is these last 17 years, we had a chance to see some of the greatest of all time, man. And the overlap with us, especially being in this city, having seen Michael Jordan and having seen Scottie Pippen and having seen what a dominant run can do to the rest of the NBA, where everybody else either loves you or hates you. Mm-hmm. Man, we act like we forget about that period where Michael was gone. And LeBron James was just arriving, where the league was needing someone to carry it. And we love Allen Iverson, right? We love Kobe Bryant. We love Tim Duncan. We love all these dudes. But commercially, I don't think people understand. Like, what you just said is so important, Speaks. You hated that dude, right? And you hated the way he did things. And you hated the way he went about his business in that time in the transition from Cleveland to Miami. But you felt something. And what's getting ready to happen here in the next couple of years for all the people who are still running it, like, I've transitioned from talking about LeBron James in reference to how I feel about him in comparison to Michael Jordan. I don't choose to consume him like that anymore, because I know once this is over, you can have all the Zion Williamson you want. You can have all these guys who are awesome, terrific talents. But who's getting ready to carry this league? So just enjoy it while you can. It's like the people who on the last day of vacation, like, oh, I got to get back to work. I'm like, no, bring these umbrella drinks, light it up. Let's you know what I mean? Like, we got another day, right? There's so many people who are getting ready to jump on a plane back to basketball boredom here, and are not enjoying their last night in paradise. Like, this is amazing to watch the man the size of Karl Malone with the athleticism of Dominique Wilkins and the vision of Magic Johnson, and to sit here and try to compare him to somebody as if those things are going to be taken out of my head. I can't do it anymore. Like, this is – if you truly love basketball, you know why he's made you feel the way you felt. I'm not even arguing with any way that you felt about him, but you felt something, and that's important. And to watch him – from 17 years old to where we see him right now.
Yes.
Yo, man, there's not a lot of dudes who would even have lived up to any of that hype. He didn't even just live up to it. He exceeded it, because Michael Jordan was the freshman who hit the shot. LeBron James, after he got the yellow Humvee, we knew about him as the chosen one. And every moment since, we have been watching his life with a magnifying glass, and he hasn't faltered too many times.
Like, and he's had to live that life for that long, and still, and not just excel and exceed and get better and win and show up, but just to show up in your life every day. It's hard to show up in your life every day and be a competent father and husband and man and teammate, and the misdeeds. The misdeeds are what? He had a special with Jim Gray? That was wrong?
And he told people, in a fit of embarrassment and weakness that he was going to be he was going to wake up and be LeBron James tomorrow.
Yes.
Like I think there are like five things that people hold against him.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey man, if that's like if I might do five things that trump that tonight. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you already know the vibes. I text you like, hey, what time are we going on?
Yeah, that's right. I got a limit when I allow myself to be public.
Yeah, the city needs a fresh can. You know what I mean? So I enjoy it, man. I enjoy it. Like, this is going to be a great night. Jimmy Butler has fared well. He's been a competitor and a dog that we all know that he could be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see him. You know, Jimmy's vibing like this because he's the best player on this team. But please believe that Tyler Hero push this offseason is going to ruffle some feathers. So enjoy this part while you can, too.
Yes,
by the way,
enjoy Jimmy like being comfortable and having some mild sense of humility for a moment.
Yeah, wait till you see Tyler Hero get announced second next year during the.
Have that. We cannot have that. All right, Jimmy. Where do you want to go?
I love it, man. I love it. And people consume the NBA in so many different ways nowadays. Like I was reading a former Chicago sports columnist who's now a web columnist talk about the ratings and all that stuff. I'm like, man, listen, if I'm done having the ratings battle with people, because if we don't think that the way radio and TV ratings are quantified are antiquated, then I don't know what we're listening to or I don't know what we're watching. If the level of engagement that NBA players and NBA teams have on social media and YouTube and all these things, people are consuming a lot of this series. If they're not watching it on their televisions, these kids are watching 25, 30 minutes of highlights every night.
Yes.
They're engaging with the video game.
Hey, kids, how about 50-year-olds, man? The House of Highlights 10.5-minute condensed thing on YouTube, that is a godsend, and then I feel like I can have conversations with humans about this stuff.
Look at you blaming it on the humans. Cut it out, Speaks.
They're pressuring me. I don't trust the humans, Jason. You know that.
I never have. We've had these conversations. Kidding me?
All right. So tell me, you got to tell me if Jace, your son, has given you the kind of moments that Ruben now does with regularity, if I'm not careful. The one of the ones that I'm thinking about that you probably have something to relate to. I was chastising him for something I found out he did at school. It's a big no-no. I found out about it, and I told him about it, and he listened to me tell him, and then he got up and walked away from the table as if he was going to decide that was the end of the conversation. And I was like, wait a minute now. No, you don't decide when the conversation is over, young
James
man.
James Evan Spiegel, ladies and gentlemen. Turning to good times here in the South Loop all of a sudden.
Yeah, you don't get up
and walk away. These kids will do it to you, bro. Like, I've looked him square in the face, and I told him, hey, there's going to be a time where you're going to be old enough to take whatever I got to give. So you remember this. You know what I mean? I might be 60, 70 years old, but you're getting it back. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting boxing gloves. We're going to go out in the yard. We're going to handle this. You know what I mean? All them Lunchables and Mirror Royal Detective and SpongeBob and all these things, they're going to seem like heaven compared. Nah, man, my guy is he's a jerk. Like, I put out all the cute stuff. You know, I know how to control his content. But
they're well curated. People will think our kids are phenomenal.
You know what has not happened to me?
That's that.
You remember what we talked about very, very early in our partnership, and it kind of created a chasm for a day. We talked about making sure that your kids don't go crazy in the store on you.
Oh yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you talked about it. If you will not be the kid walking down the cereal aisle.
Because remember, I saw the kid walking down the aisle and just put his arm inside of a cereal box and then just walked down the aisle and cleared it, you know, like crazy shopping style. I'm like, I'm looking at the mom like, so what you gonna do, mama? And I mentioned that on the air. And next thing you know, me and Spiegel are talking about bad parents. And then I felt like Spiegel was talking to me through the conversation about
what he
might have been going through. And I'm
was
like,
that,
wait,
was that passive aggressive?
Oh, dog, it was amazing.
I never did that.
You were like, you have no idea. You haven't. You have not had a kid yet, and you should shut your. You didn't say something. Yeah, shut my mouth. But I was like, damn.
Speech. I do remember that.
And then I ended it with the line of, you know, I'm not a pilot, but I know if a helicopter is in a tree, somebody didn't do their job. You know what I mean?
I know. You know what? At the time, here's the thing. I don't remember if I ever told you. I know somebody who's in the advice and self-help industry, working in various mediums, including writing a book. And she wrote a book about parenting before she had a kid. Okay? I mean, it's like, look, it's one thing. If you're making an observation in a grocery store and spitting words into a microphone for 2 hours, that's one thing. But if you're going to write a book and say, let me tell you what to do, and I will confirm this as soon as I have a child myself, then we got problems.
It's really no different than the NFL telling you how to end racism, man. You know?
Or me telling Mitch Trubisky how to read a defense.
Yeah, dude, I heard you talking about Roquan Smith and him having to bring his feet with him.
That's right. Come on. Jay,
this man's got a 300-pound guard bearing down on him, and Matt Spiegel from his palatial estate in the South Loop.
You bet.
Is telling him to bring his feet with him, ladies and gentlemen.
Do I need to show you highlights of the mighty Sequoias in my intramural flag football heyday of 1990? Do I need to show you highlights? Come
dog,
on, man.
I love it.
You're the best, Jason. Yeah,
what was the sensitivity training thing? I know we done blown through like a commercial break. And,
no.
You know, you and Campy, so this is like the score afterlife.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, Campy's good. He knows what's up on a Friday night. No, it's the sensitivity.
Leave the meter on the afterlife, too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. No, I was – it's like referencing the days when we were doing the show together, just like you're talking about. Yeah. That day when you brought up the parenting, and all of a sudden I got my feelings. I got in my feelings. I won the sensitivity contest that day.
Oh, okay.
And that is just, that's one of my favorite lasting memories of that show, is that everybody in the gaggle, you know, all the producers and everybody, somebody different would win the sensitivity contest on a daily basis.
And the like bad guy ticker. Don't forget the bad guy ticker. Which we had an MVP trophy, didn't we?
We did.
Had like an MVP of the show.
We still have it.
We had
here.
So many hacky bits, man.
Come on.
Could have kept it going.
The king of hacky bits. It's a long life, Jason. It's a long life. All right, man. Go get deeper into your evening, sir.
Oh, please. Dude, listen. Faded Friday is coming up soon. Jump on Twitter if you get a chance.
Oh, no, dude. Use the condom. Use the Twitter condom.
Oh, dude, I'm great. Dude, listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I press delete maybe during a game, maybe 8-9 times. Like I'm out here
just
like,
keep it up,
just
keep
just
it up.
Spitting hot fire, and I'm like, nah, maybe not tonight. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe
stay away from video news awards. Stay away.
Listen, you got to be. That's a deep cut, man. Like you can't. Let me stop. Goodbye, Speaks.
See you later, Jason.
I'll
that's
catch
Jason
you later,
Goff.
My man.
I'll catch you, bud. That's Jason Wengoff on the Twitters. He does Bulls pre and post at NBC Sports Chicago, and as you mentioned, the Bulls podcast. Over there as well, and he is a delight. That was fun. 670, the score is where you are. Matt Spiegel is who you're with. We'll talk baseball with my guy Boog Shambi at the top of the hour. We will interrupt his evening as he watches games with friends. We will interrupt him. I offered not to interrupt him, and he said, no, I'm good. I'm good. But later on this hour, you got to hear how angry Matt Nagy was. And we'll talk about why he was that angry. It's all coming up. 670 the score. Me, Spiegs, you, hanging out. This segment is brought to you by Valparaiso University. We all want to be part of something bigger. At Valparaiso University, you can be part of something bigger without losing yourself in the crowd. And you'll discover that making the world a better place isn't wishful thinking. Visit valpo.edu to request information, apply, or schedule a visit. Welcome back to 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel is who you are with on a Friday evening. I am having a great time being with you, and not the least of which was Jason Goff right here on this show, as that man and I enjoy each other, enjoy talking to each other, and not the least of which is Rick Camp producing. That is some funky, enjoyable stuff right there with a little New Orleans piano bent to it, but some boogie. What is that, Rick Camp?
That's A Walk to Remember by Wolfpack.
Ah, okay, yeah, Wolfpack, young guys paying homage to all the proper elements of funk and boogie and soul and doing it very, very well.
Yeah, if it's funk or jazz, I'm probably going to be leaning towards it.
Did you hear Tower of Power going to the break last night during the Fox football broadcast? What is hip? Tell me if you think you know. My goodness, there was no reason for that to be there. And then I find out that the guy who programs the music on those Thursday night football games is an epic music head, a big Fish fan who very often goes deep into the Fish catalog and other jam band catalogs. And I reached out to him on Twitter. I want to talk to that man, but nothing back yet. But I always enjoy it when somebody gives a crap, you know, when somebody gives a crap doing that job, because we live in an infinite musical world where everything is available at either the press of a button or just the spewing of words towards a smart device. It is just insane that anything I think of that I would like to hear, I can instantly hear. And that means you could be real lazy and sloppy with your musical choices. And a lot of people are.
That's one thing I think ESPN, in terms of the basketball coverage, has always done really well. And maybe the most enjoyable part of the Warriors dynasty, outside of the actual basketball, has been you pretty much have at some point gotten the entirety of Back to Oakland from Tower of Power as rejoin music at some point.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, it's all been there, that's for sure. My son is growing up in a world, Campy, where just the options for his playlist, and he's got a big Spotify playlist, I think there's 130 songs on it now or something like that. It's just anything in the whole world. And it's like, we've come a long way, where he used to say, "Daddy, sing Door." And I would sing a song about a door. I'd be like, let's see, song about a door. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing a bell. And I'd put that on his playlist. He said, "Daddy, sing Moon." I'd be like, "I'm being followed by a moon shadow. Moon shadow." Right. I put that on his playlist. So now he's got this playlist of songs that he knows that he doesn't even really know why he knows. And he's 8. And it's like, it's just such a weird way for music to be owned by you as a child growing up.
Yeah, and I love the fact that a lot of their like algorithms worked into either Spotify or whatever your music player of choice is as the suggestions of, oh, you like X, then you're probably going to like Y. Mm-hmm. And even if it's not the first song from that artist, maybe like I've had somewhere I don't necessarily like the first song that I hear from whatever band it is or whatever artist it is. But then I'll just kind of do a bit of a dive there and check out the top 5 songs that are listed on Spotify or something like that.
Yeah.
And I will listen to those and I'll find something that I like. So it's weird how, like, I know obviously for you growing up and for me even growing up being, more of a kid of the 90s, like it would be entire albums where it's just so much more specific now to certain songs where, like, I feel bad that I'm someone that, I'm bad with the information. I know the music pretty well and like how it's all done and all the theory and that junk. Mm-hmm. But in terms of knowing what album something is off of, that information is pretty much been flushed out along with plenty of other things.
But I know, but it's not even available on the streaming services for the most part. I mean, you can find out what the album is, but liner notes, credits, just how difficult was it? Just the volume of data they didn't want to write down or copy over from the liner notes. They didn't want to cut and paste so I could find out who's playing what on a track. My God. Or did they just know that we were all going to be holding supercomputers in our hands and we can just go look on the Wikipedia page for the album?
That might be the case too. And I don't know, maybe this is just because it's where I pay more attention to. I feel like it's as relevant, if not more, in jazz than any other because everybody collaborated with everybody and everybody did everybody's songs with each other, that there are certain times where, like, I'll listen to Night in Tunisia and I'll be like, okay, I can tell it's a different, like, alto sax player with Dizzy than some other time. So I want to know. So I got to look up that specific recording and then do it that way.
Absolutely. Or, you know, it's like that way or with session players in some of like the great studio rock of the 60s, 70s and 80s. I want to know if it's Leland Sklar on bass because it probably is. You know, I want to know if those guys are there and represented. All right. Is that Carole Kay? Well, thankfully, there is a Spotify playlist of every Carole Kay song like ever. And it's unbelievable of her playing the bass. But that's not why you called. It is 670 The Score. I have a couple different ways I could go here. How long is our chunk of Matt Nagy being angry today, talking about the details and how the offense was not up to the details and how it cannot stand. This cannot stand, man. How long is that chunk?
3 minutes.
Let's play it right now, okay? This is Nagy today, angry about the offense.
I thought offensively, just looking at it, and you start wondering about the sloppiness and where things are at and how to get to where we need to go. I just look back after watching the tape, and I just the details right now in this offense are not there. So that's our job as coaches, to make sure that we get these freaking details right. And it's as simple as that. You know, to be in a situation like we were yesterday in that second half, I've never been a part of something of 3rd-and-17, 3rd-and-18, 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-24, 3rd-and-29, 3rd-and-19, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9, and 3rd-and-9. I've never been a part of that. So, you know, we got to get that thing there has to get fixed. And, you know, that's that. So offensively, we got some stuff to do. Defensively, I'm proud of our guys. They got after them. It's a good offense that they have. Special teams did a great job last night. I'm proud of those guys. Like I said, no change there after watching all the tape. But until we get our details right on offense, we're going to continue to be this way. So that's my challenge to us as coaches and to us as players, is we get the details right and we start doing that, and we play better football on offense.
Matt, I'm a little surprised. This is the most angry I think you've sounded about your offense. There have been some rough games. What was the tipping point for you last night? And what specifically, when you talk about details and sloppiness, do you need to see turn around?
Well, it's everything, you know, right now. I think that you look at when you try to make plays go, and when you coach plays schematically, us as coaches and them as players, you need to do everything exactly the way that it's supposed to be done. And so if that means run a route at 5 steps and not 3 steps, or if that means run a route at 3 steps and not 7 steps, or, you know, that has to happen. If it means to set a certain way and block somebody, that's what that means. If it means to throw on a certain time with your feet, do that. If it means to make the right play call at the right time, then do that as coaches, and meaning myself. And so we're all in this thing together, but I refuse to allow this to happen. And us as coaches, we're gonna use the next couple of days here to make sure that whatever we're doing, that we're being the greatest teachers we can be. And then on your end as players, you better be the best students you can be. And if you're not, then we're gonna have to figure something out. And so you know, that's my challenge to the offense right now. Is you get to this point right now, it's not nothing's effort. There's zero effort. I love our guys, and the effort that they have is phenomenal. None of it's effort. None of it's not caring. But darn it, when you play in this offense, you better be freaking detailed. And you know, we're not a detailed football team on offense right now, and we need to get that back.
That is awesome. That is Matt Nagy, feisty publicly and angry about something he loves. And that is really well-coordinated, well-executed offense. That's what he loves more than anything in football, and you know it. That's what he wants to do. It's what he dreams of. And when he sees this offense being sloppy, it drives him crazy. So, look, there is many good reasons for him to be that way today. One of them is that he's obviously passionate and sounds honest and sounds legitimately angry, and I'm not questioning the veracity of that at all. But I am adding to it that this moment, with a mini bye here, 10 days to focus, and they're winning. Things are good. This is a great opportunity to be feisty publicly, to be feisty and edgy privately. This will be a much more effective moment to show the red ass to your team than it would be if you're 3-2 or 2-3. Because they're no fools. They know what they've been doing. They know it's been sloppy. And yet they're winning. So they should want more and not be discouraged. This should be one of those rare moments where you've got a bunch of grown men ready to be coached and ready to take it to the next level, because they know they can be even better and they can smell the possibilities. Man, you clean things up on that offense, everybody involved, you would do it a lot more efficiently. now that you've got the right quarterback in there, you could put up 30, 35 points as needed. You could do that. And then you could win a lot of games. You could be 12-4, 11-5. They know that they're lucky to be 4-1, but they are 4-1. That was awesome to hear from Matt Nagy, and it is a well-chosen, opportune moment to go after your team because they're winning. And you don't have to worry about losing them because they're down and coming on too strong. You've got their attention because they realize that they could make the playoffs this year. They ought to make the playoffs, frankly, this year with seven teams in each league. They ought to be able to do that. Good stuff from Matt Nagy, and well chosen. And it didn't come off like somebody trying to show you that he's pissed, but I'm just telling you, it's a real good moment to do it from the leader perspective. 670 The Score is where you are. Matt Spiegel is who you're with on a Friday night. Keep it right here. We will continue and roll forward. I mentioned, and I will give you a couple of dark documentary recommendations from the Netflix that have affected me and stuck around with my head and my heart in recent days. And then Boog Shambi on MLB. And later next hour, a rule I'm ready for in MLB. It's time. I'm ready for it. Let's talk about it. Keep it here on 670 The Score. Welcome back in on 670 The Score. All right. I love incredibly dark documentaries. And now it's not even special. There's just so many out there. And everybody is racing to do it and just flood the market with it. And everybody's all into the true crime. I'm not saying I was first or anything. I've read a lot of good true crime books and memoirs. And then seen a lot of the really good documentaries. And some of them are great and some of them are not. And you got to be able to pick them out. So I figure that even though there's so many out there, telling you, making sure that you see some of the good ones, I think is important. All right, first is American Murder on Netflix about Shanann Watts and her little girls and her husband. And that one unfolds in an incredibly compelling modern way with lots of social media footage and body cam footage from police officers and, it's incredible and affecting. And then there's a lot of stuff that's out there now that the criminal has written from prison even more details. So you can end up in a wormhole that's dark and terrible, but engrossing and affecting. So that's one, American Murder on Netflix. But then the other, have you guys seen this? Tell Me Who I Am, about the British twins. Now in their 50s, one of whom had a motorcycle accident when he was 18 and lost his entire memory. The only thing he knew was his twin. He woke up from his motorcycle accident and said, "Oh, hello, Marcus." Recognized his twin, but didn't recognize his mother, didn't recognize anybody else, didn't know anything. And his twin basically taught him how to live life and told him his reality. And it wasn't until he was in his 30s that he realized his twin left something out. He left something kind of big out. And I'll leave it there. But my goodness, just horrifying and fascinating and telling about the human condition and why some people hide things and why some people need to share things. Just really, really good. So American Murder and Tell Me Who I Am, both available from your streaming services on the Netflix. And incredibly affecting and engrossing. And no, to answer Peoria Matt's text, I have not seen the Craig Carton documentary on HBO. I have not seen that. I need to. And just an incredible up and down story where a guy just could not conquer his demons and let it take him down from one of the highest profile and highest paid jobs in our industry. So, yeah, this can be a tough daily life if you are not incredibly mentally strong and emotionally under control. in terms of your vices. Your vices can absolutely take over. I guess that's true of all of us, but it certainly is true in this industry. So I will watch that. That's Craig Carton, the former WFAN morning man, partner of Boomer Esiason, who went down in an awful scandal a couple years ago, served jail time, and is now out and trying to make it again. I'm not even sure where he is right now. But anyway, wanted to share those because, Lord knows, nothing says family sports radio on a Friday night like recommending American Murder on Netflix. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on The Score. We will interrupt the great Boog Sciambi with his evening out watching baseball to talk baseball in a matter of moments. And Cubs fans, Sox fans, we will want to talk to you next hour as well. If you've been dying for some Cubs and Sox talk and some off-season thoughts, let's get them rolling next hour as well. It's me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on The Score, Sports Radio 670.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.